And we are live.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Lane Transit District Board of Directors special meeting. Today is Wednesday, September 30th at 4:30 p.m. Just want to thank everyone for their attendance and to get our ridership and operations update. Let's do a roll call. So we have Caitlin Vargas.
Here.
Joshua Scove.
Here.
Don Norden. I think Don just came on. So
I'll here. Go.
Thanks, right. Don. Stephen Yet.
Present. Carl.
Thank you. And Emily Secord. Present. Great. Thank you for all of you being here today. I do not have any comments today. AJ, do you have any comments as general manager? I think she's trying to unmute herself.
Yeah, it wasn't working. The bar didn't work. I am not. Sorry, I'm in the office and two screens make it hard.
No worries. Thanks, AJ. And next, any announcements or additions to today's agenda? Okay, looking around, I do not see any. Thanks, everyone. So we'll go straight to our ridership and operations update. We're going to start with Mark Johnson. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, thanks, Carl. Yeah, so one of the things that I think you're all aware of is the increase in cases of COVID countywide. And so that's certainly a concern to us, as well as county administrator, who has put out a few warnings to us about kind of keeping doing what we're doing and making sure that we're washing our hands and doing all the things and not gatherings and all those kind of things, because they're very concerned that they're going to have to go back to a phase one. So I think you'll be happy to see that with the new service changes that our overloads are down, and some things that with the timing of this is probably a good thing for us. And we're continuing to, take every measure that we can. OSHA's coming out with some new requirements. We're working with OSHA to make sure that, we're on top of those kind of things. So, we've been talking about this now for 6 or 7 months, and we're still not out of the woods. And we probably won't be for a while, it looks like. So I just want to assure the board that, we're doing everything we can to respond appropriately and making sure that we're taking every precaution that the local health authority is recommending. So with that, I will turn it over to Tom.
Great. And I'm going to share my screen here.
Thanks for that overview, Mark.
Yeah. There we go. So a couple little modifications to this graph, but you'll see, again, this is the graph you're used to looking at, but we color-coded the ridership data since we started the fall bid on Sunday. So during the weekdays, this blue bar, this blue color will be used. And one of the things that you'll see, just again, I'm focused on the total boardings by day here right now. We're seeing with the increase in service, higher ridership than we've had. Of course, this week here was the week of the smoke, and this was kind of less smoky, but still kind of a recovery. But we're back, you can see we're back up to what we normally were there. And then we started the service, and it's even higher. So it's around 13,000, 13.5 in terms of our overall boardings per day, which is over the 12,000 or so that we were seeing before. One of the things I would point out, I'm sorry. My mouse has gone wild. the boardings after 8:30, as I said, they've been fairly stable. And of course, again, same kind of patterns as we saw with the overall boardings in terms of during the fires and all. But, even then, after that, we were relatively steady around 1,000. We're seeing a little bit more here, but again, we think there may be some more midday trips happening during the week. And this is, I mean, I'm telling you a big story about a couple days of data, so we'll see how things progress after this. Moving to talking about the overloads, I don't know if, I can't remember if we showed you this format before, but this has got all the routes down the left side, the 40-foot bus routes, and then across the top is the day of the week for the last approximately month. And trying to just give a visual, you know, the darker red, the more overloads that we have. And again, you can see this, we had a lot of overloads during this first week of September, the smoky week. You could see visually there's a big difference, you know, getting a little bit back to normal. And then kind of this the week before we had, it wasn't as bad as this week, but it was getting there. But with the new service, you can see, it's hard to say, again, a couple days of data, but our loads are less, and you'll see that better in some of the bar charts. But this at the right side, you get kind of the grand total. So we'll watch this over time and see, you know, what kinds of changes there are, looking at things from this vantage point. With respect to kind of another way to visualize this is just looking at what are the loads right at 20, and how many loads are we seeing, or trips are we seeing over that capacity. And so that gives you kind of a visual there. But we broke that down a little bit more, and this is something similar to what you've seen before. We made one subtle change here, and I'll explain. So again, the green bars are where we're running right at capacity. The blue bars are between 21 and 24 passengers on board. And we and again, this is the subtle part, but we were breaking it up from 21 to 25. And as we were looking at TriMet's information and how they were looking at things, and we talked to a couple people there, they have a range that breaks at 24. And so we wanted to just show, kind of be consistent with how they're using it, so we can compare data. We haven't got there yet, but we're working on that. But you can see the blue is that first range over 20. TriMet is managing their loads within this range. So it would be the green bar plus the blue bar is kind of their operating window for things. And then 25 or over. And you can see again for the 40-foot buses, the majority of the loads in this graphic are in that 21 to 24 range. What I would point out, and again, we'll see what happens, but these loads here on Monday and Tuesday are below, you know, if you ignore the week of the smoke, below what we were seeing in our past operations. So hopefully the additional service is helping to mitigate the some of the overloads. So looking at the same data formats for the 60-foot buses, 103 is the MX route, and so you can kind of see that's where the bulk of the overloads are, you know, 85 out of 133 overloads in this month are on MX. The 11 has quite a few over the week, but quite a bit less, I'm sorry, over the month, but quite a bit less than MX. And then the next level down is the 51. So you can see kind of where those overloads, kind of what they look like on a daily basis. A similar graphic here for the 40-foot buses. And you can see, again, A lot of the overloads here are above that 30 range, and in kind of similar fashion to what we did with the 40-foot buses. You can see those in green are right at 30. The 31 to 34 range is in blue, and 35 and over is in yellow. And again, you can see this week the lower number of overloads, and fewer of those are over that 35 range. So I think that's good. Again, we're going to be watching to see if this plays out over more than 2 days. But you can see we had quite a few overloads in this time frame over 35. Whether that's attributable to some of the work we were doing carrying people from different sites, I'm not sure, but that's what we've got here. And then we talked a little bit last time, I think, about pass-by trips, and that's data that's actually gathered by the operators as needs be. So basically, passengers are being passed by if the bus is operating or at a full capacity. And you can see, again, that the trends on the pass-by trips follow fairly closely some of the overload data that we've showing you before. Back 4 weeks ago, we had a day here where there are a lot of MX overloads. Again, a lot of overload. We were down quite a bit during this period of time. Actually, on Monday, we didn't have any overloads. Which you can see that was kind of unusual in this range of data. And then yesterday we had some on the 40 and the looks like the 66 and one on the 41. So that's the overload data. Looking at this chart, we're expecting, and we're just going to be interested to see how the data plays out, but there may be more trip making during the middle of the day, in which case you would see this chart here have a little bit different shape. It'll be a while until we get up to the really sharp peaks that we saw in pre-COVID times, driven largely by student ridership, both the colleges and the high schools. You can see here, I actually like this graphic because it shows you, this is the entire span of time. So the last 6 months or so, so far here. But you can see, the low point that we got to here and kind of a steady rise going up here. The fire and all, and then this is just the first couple of days of data, so that we expect that average is going to bump up a little bit over time. Whoops, sorry. There we go. Ride source data, very stable, not affected too much by the fires in terms of the level of ridership we have. But one of the things we were talking just today with folks about, we want to bring back to you a little bit deeper dive on the ride source data. It's been a while since we've talked to you about kind of where things were pre-COVID and post-COVID. And there's been some interesting changes in how the service is used during this period of time. Again, this period reflects lower ridership certainly than pre-COVID. And we'll come back with that information to give you a little deeper look at what the ride source data is. But that's what I've got, and I'd answer any questions you have.
Thanks,
Thank you very much, Tom. Are there questions or comments from the board members? Caitlin, go ahead.
Tom, I appreciate you showing this. I had a question on the, what was the term, but the pass-bys?
Oh, uh-huh.
Can you talk a little bit more about how you use this data of pass-bys and what kind of solutions are in place for this?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is related to managing, managing the loads. And so, what this means is there's more people, just in a general sense, more people that want to use the service than we have capacity for kind of managing to those load limits. And again, we're going to watch and see what happens with our new service. But one of the primary things that we did to try and address that with the bid was just add more trips to some of these more crowded routes or more higher, routes that are in higher demand. And we should see the ability to manage that down. So in that sense, trying to reduce the number of those pass-by trips. And I'd ask Mark maybe to explain the process that operations uses to manage those pass-by trips. I know we do some things to try and help with that.
Yeah, so it depends on the situation, but usually if we're having to pass someone by, and it depends if it's a MX where you've got 10-minute service, we wait for the next bus. If it's a place we have an hourly service and we take a look and say, okay, how can we accommodate them? And that's a lot of the time where we might get a few overloads. It's like, oh, it's hourly service. Let's get them, let's have a couple more and make sure people can get to where they're going. So it depends on the situation and the route on how we, kind of handle the pass-bys. So.
That's great, Mark. Thank you so much.
Yep.
I think I have Josh next.
Great. Thank you, Carl. And thank you, Tom and Mark. It's amazing that we can get this all the way up through yesterday. So thank you. I don't take it for granted at all. It's great that we're that nimble on the data front. I have a handful of questions. Let me start with this one because the pass-bys are right in front of us right now. I think the color coding must be off because the 24 is showing as one of the most common pass-by routes, and yet it shows up as having almost no overages in the other route. So in the other graph, the sort of heat map graph. So I don't know if you could check that and get back to us, that'd be great. I don't want you to make, don't go dive into Excel, in real time, but something seems to be off there. And so it'd be good to just get a sense of what those are. When you do that, if you could also kind of aggregate in a way that we can judge in the heat map one, you actually have the totals over on the far right-hand column. So we can kind of see what are the two or three or four routes that are the biggest concerns. Here, it's sort of hard to kind of add up all the bars in your head.
Sure. Yeah. And if I could just quickly respond initially, sure. Again, the pass-by data is data gathered by operators. The overloads are obviously there are people that haven't been passed by. But we can, we'll look into that question that you're asking.
And that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's just that the total overloads listed for the 24 is like three or four. And here you have the 24 as one of the major routes getting passed by. So it just doesn't quite square. But let us know. I could be misreading something. I guess I am curious to hear from, board members and exec staff on this. What should our goal be for these things? I mean, as we get new data and kind of assess what we learn from the fall service and the differences from what we've had before, I'm curious what people think we're looking for. I know obviously like in an ideal world, we're never leaving. I mean, this should be flat, right? The one in front of us, we should have no pass-bys. We don't want to be leaving people who want to get on the bus. But at the same time, we have these, various balancing acts. So I'm just, I'm just curious to hear from people.
I guess our goal from an operational standpoint, Josh, is really to minimize the pass-bys, you know, and still maintain, you know, our social distancing guidelines. So, you know, and it is a balancing act. You put out, you know, how much more service do you put out to be able to do that? And if most of our pass-bys are on, let's say, on where we have 10-minute service, then, you know, is that acceptable? You know, and so those are the kind of, you know, things that we try to wrestle with daily to try to manage, you know, the both the pass-bys, the loads, and the service. So,
how about before we get into a wider discussion, let me get Stephen's and Don's questions and comments, and then we'll loop back to what you're asking, Josh. So Stephen and then Don.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate that. And Tom, thank you very much for this helpful. Josh stole my thunder just a touch, but I first want to thank you, Tom, for putting the percentages of overboardings on that earlier graph at the very bottom on the x-axis. That's very helpful. Appreciate that. And I guess keying off of Josh's question, what is our goal there? What is going to be a point to where Mark and AJ feel we're hitting the mark? I don't have a predetermined number. I'm just asking the question. Exactly, right there. You got it. Thanks, Tom. That's very helpful. And also, I just want to comment, I think Mark makes a very good point when he says, I appreciate the juggling act of a pass-by. If it's 10-minute service, it's much different than if it's a half an hour or hourly service, because the impact on the person who's being passed by, of course, is greater. So I think that's a very good point, Mark, and thank you for making it.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, I'm kind of piling on here with what Josh and Stephen had just said. I'm concerned about the pass-bys and what it means. I mean, I see the 41 as being a major one, and I'm thinking of just the distances. If someone misses the bus by just a couple of minutes, they've got a very long walk to get to where they want to go if they're depending upon or waiting for another hour for the bus. And Mark had made a comment about, well, how do we do that? I'm just wanting a little bit more expansion about, well, what is it that we can do for folks who have a long walk if they have to wait an hour for the next bus?
Well, can I first point out that the 41 in particular is one of our higher frequency core routes. So it's not an hour between trips, but that's not to downplay what you're asking, Don. I just want to clarify that has higher frequency.
Oh, thanks for that, Tom.
And we will watch the 41 really closely, Don, because, you know, I mean, if you look, again, we only have 2 days of data for the new bid. And that's one we did add service to try to take care of some of those overloads and whatnot. So, you know, we will be watching this really closely, and we can respond with, you know, if we can identify times a day that absolutely there's overloads, we can get another bus out there and take care of some of those. So, you know, give us a week or so, and we'll have a lot more information about how people are reacting to the new service.
So when someone is passed by, do they know that there will be additional service? I mean, are they just going to have to sense that, well, we have to wait like it was before they get the additional service? I mean, how do they get information about what their situation is once they've been passed by?
Yeah, and well, and I mean, typically we'll stop and let them know.
Oh, okay.
That's my understanding, that, you know, I'm at capacity, and, you know, the next bus is X minutes away.
Okay, so I just had the sense of the bus going by and the person standing there watching it go and wondering what's next. But thanks.
I'm hoping that's not the case. I'm pretty sure it's not.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
One thing, just so I can clarify on Josh's question. Josh, you were referring to Route 24. Is that correct?
Well, I was talking about the whole graph, but it was Route 24 in particular that I didn't see squaring between the two graphs. Yeah.
And just to be sure, I want to double check color coding here. The 24 is this little blip on 923.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm just too colorblind. I think that's the problem.
Okay. That's what I wanted to clarify because I wasn't.
That does now make sense. Okay.
Okay.
That's great. And 103 is MX here as well, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Thanks.
Before I loop back to Josh's broader question, I wanted to try to summarize the situation and run it by you, Tom, to make sure I was interpreting it correctly, which is that basically when the wildfires hit, our ridership went down. And then after the smoke cleared, ridership kind of went back up to our normal COVID ridership numbers. And then once we instituted the new fall schedule, then it increased. And right. I guess the question I have is, one more thing, which is that, and the new schedule has been in effect for just too short of a time to really know if we really have figured out what the community is needing from us at this time, or if we're meeting the need correctly. Is that basically about right?
Yeah. It takes a little time for the new service levels to kind of be taken advantage of. And so we'll see as things go. And then of course, remember some of the increases in service that we are operating are bringing back some of the university routes. This is the time of year when we do that. So looking at how the students are using transit during this time is one of the things we're paying attention to.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that. So is that how we know that students are the ones driving it? Because they're really the only factor that has changed.
Yeah, the additional market that's changed, particularly during this time. There aren't a lot of other, increases in employment or anything that would necessarily drive that.
And then one last thing, which is before we go back to the broader question about where this is all going, is that in terms of safety, are there any new safety issues that have cropped up? Or are we still the same safety issues that we've been dealing with the entire time?
I'm guessing Mark can.
Mark left, but I can answer okay. that.
Oh, thanks, AJ.
We're still dealing with all the same criteria, so we haven't not identified any new ones. We're still requiring the rear door boardings, the physical distancing, and the wearing a mask, of course, during this time. But we are definitely watching a new regulation that is proposed and seeing how that could change what we're doing. We're still doing the wipe downs within the 4 hours of the governor's orders or sooner. So we're still adhering to the same criteria, but we know that if we were to go back into phase one, that could change. And we're still, of course, following that.
Oh, very good. And public safety wise, also, I imagine there's still some issues, but basically still the same kinds of issues we've been dealing with.
Yeah, our operators are still dealing with the same issues during this time. We're still having the rear door boarding that affects kind of their ability to really monitor what's happening as, and we still have them physical distancing. So yeah, we're still dealing with a lot of that. I think during the plan that we brought before you, operations will be adding more public safety and supervisory personnel to support that. But there's a lot going on out there on a regular night. I mean, last night we had to detour our MX buses around the Franklin corridor. So there's always something exciting going on out there in the evenings. So
thank you, AJ. Josh, is that new hand? Do you want to bring it back to what you were asking about earlier? Is that what
it's the same old hand. Sorry about that. Yeah. But yeah, I would love to hear people. But I mean, if we can bring it back, I would love to hear people talk about just having goals? I mean, I know we've been kind of just running to keep up for a while, but now I think we should start having some actual target metrics at some point. And I'm just curious if people have comments. I'm sorry, Mark left, so maybe we pick this up another time, but it seems important.
Yeah, I think we can still do that. Tom, could you?
Yeah, we can have the conversation without Mark. Yeah, we just to keep it clean, it's normally Mark and Tom, but I'm able to help out just the same.
Oh, Don, go ahead. Sorry, just saw your hand.
Well, I was wondering, it's October tomorrow, and last I'd heard that we were going to put the shields in around the operators. Is that on schedule? Is that happening as anticipated?
So we've been working with the prototypes on the different buses. Our goal has been to have all the shields in by the end of October. At our last meeting when we discussed this, maintenance is maintaining that speed with the contractor, but there has been some delays on that. So I believe that we talked that by October 12th, if we have not received a guarantee that everything will be done within the following next 2 weeks, that we're gonna have to set new target dates. So I will say that we've been working on a project that normally takes 12 months. We've been trying to get it done in a few months. Realistically speaking, I expect that despite the vendors' efforts, that there's something they just can't control. They can't control production during this time, especially of the material that we're needing is something everyone else is needing, except we're doing it on a moving bus that requires a lot of moving pieces. So I think those are the challenges. So all that to tell you, Don, we're, as of today, saying we're still on target. The likelihood is, I guess I'm not as optimistic. So what we can do is provide you a briefing. I can send out a memo, but we're giving the contractor about another week or two before we kind of reset that date on that, Don. So we want to stay on schedule, but it's definitely going to be with the ability to produce the product. So I would say count on some delays. It was probably be my best advice to say count on delays, but we will stay firm as if we could meet the date. Because once we start slipping, things start going further and further. So we're really working hard to try to.
Now, that's tied to getting the fare back again. So once the shields are in, it's in fare service will be provided again?
Yes, that is the discussion that we previously had with the board of directors, supporting that we continue the rear door boardings to ensure that the exposure to the operator through the front doors was minimized.
Great. Sorry, now I think we kind of jumped a little around a little bit, but going back, maybe Josh, maybe could you ask your question again to the group?
I can, but I see Stephen's hand is up. Stephen, do you want to go first?
If Carl will yield the floor,
yes,
sure.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you, Josh, for noting that. And this just relates to Don's question and AJ's answer. Great question, Don, and I think a great answer, AJ. Certainly, we're not the only ones who happen to be looking for some plexiglass right now. And everyone is in high demand for that service. And the variables that you call out, AJ, make total sense. Appreciate you staying on it. Appreciate us looking out for the health and safety of the drivers. We can't rush it, but I think makes sense. And if we push that deadline past a little bit, most likely, almost certainly, it's no fault of LTDs or AJs or Marks. It's just everyone is looking for plexiglass right now, and we got a tough job. So thank you for the answer, AJ.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Josh.
Okay, thanks. Well, and just a very quick thing on that, AJ, I don't know if you want guidance or some sort of support from us on that in particular, but I just want to say, I mean, as the science has accumulated over the last 6 months, we now know that actually surface-oriented transmission is probably not the issue in the vast majority of circumstances. The airborne transmission possibilities are what really matter. So if there's a, I don't know what trade-offs there are that you need to hear us emphasize, but I know surfaces are getting cleaned everywhere all the time now. This is true in, you know, in hospitals and, you know, any place that's occupied, but actually on buses, that might be a lot less important than other things we can do. So I'd just say, if you've sensed different trade-offs, let us know how we can sort of support that decision-making. So the question, Carl, that I had posed to people before is just, I see a bunch of numbers that Tom is reporting, and it's clear that those mean something, but are there thresholds we should be aiming for? I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because we can't do everything at once. Are there particular metrics we should be aiming for, whether it's, you know, and Mark said, you know, we want to reduce things, we want to minimize them. That's fine. But I think at some point, you know, this is not going to go on another week or two, right? This is like many months or a year or much longer. And so we should probably start aiming for certain metrics. And I guess I want to start that conversation. Is it about pass-bys? Is it about overloads? Is it about like the percentage of total trips? Stephen was calling out that, you know, the low, that row at the bottom of that particular chart that Tom had produced, the, you know, the total percentage of trips that end up having that sort of disruption. I don't know. I'm curious if people have thoughts on this.
You know, one thing I'll just put out there as a kind of dimension of this is what I was talking about earlier with respect to how TriMet is managing its loads. And there may be other data that you're interested in talking about, but just with respect to the loads, I mean, they're managing their overloads within a range. And that's why we adjusted our ranges slightly so you could better see what the overloads look like within that range. And one way, you know, one conclusion that they draw when they do things this way is that, you know, they have fewer overloads outside that range. And what they're trying to do is address those overloads that are like over 35 or over 25. So it's just, that's another dimension or approach to how someone else is kind of managing this issue.
Yeah, thanks for that, Tom. I want to throw my opinion out there because it's kind of similar to what you had just said, which is that, you know, I know we're not measuring these things just for the fun of it. And so, I mean, it is useful data. But then on the other hand, I'm not saying that picking a number even is even a good idea, just because there's so many other factors that I would see that would go into whether that is actually a good idea or not to, in terms of, you know, whether an overload is a good idea or pass-bys. So I guess what I'm trying to say out to the board is that I think there could be certain situations where I could see the AJ staff making some decisions based on the data, but I don't know. I don't feel like we have enough data to be able to make a broad policy decision on these, but that's where I'm sitting at. But I'd love to hear from some of the people who haven't chimed in yet. I just want to throw out to maybe Emily or Caitlin if you have comments.
You know, I just would go back to what Tom said, and that the goal I think right now is just to minimize those pass-bys, but without, you know, being able to have a crystal ball and foretelling the future, it's really difficult to say what the perfect solution might be. So I think as long as we're continuing to look at opportunities to minimize pass-bys, I think we're on the right path, and getting those plexiglass units in place will be helpful for collecting even more data from here and hopefully taking some of that burden off the staff for tracking. So I don't have anything, you know, more productive to add at this point.
No, that's okay, Emily. Thanks. Caitlin?
I agree with you, Josh, that those metrics are all important, but I still feel like there's a long list of priorities that had to be pushed aside during this time of crisis. And so I don't want to continue to necessarily push those aside and then add these new, you know, asks almost of the staff. And so I think the list that you came up with is great, but how do we integrate that with some things that we haven't talked about in a while that we do need to be talking about? So maybe that's something that we could do in a board work session, really look at that list. And I know we also came up with one a few months ago, Carl, and revisit that and really start to flesh out what we need to be talking about in these meetings, what the priorities are. And out of those metrics you brought up, what's realistic for us to handle right now? That'd be my suggestion.
Great. Any other comments? Before we go back to Josh, just want to make sure to get full round. Don, do you want to go again? I don't know if your hand was old or new.
Yes. It's just kind of like taking advantage of maybe a slow time. We have to focus on a certain thing, but just reading the stuff that comes up in our email feeds and other stuff. And I noticed Robin's here, and I'm wondering how we feel about our cybersecurity. Are we keeping on top of that? You know, just this question about whether the vote is going to be attacked by hackers and so on. It makes me wonder about how secure is the Lane Transit District's IT situation. I don't know if there's any comments that can be made about that, but it's a question I have, and I'd like it addressed, you know, in the next month or so, somehow to at least be assured that we're on top of that situation.
I can speak to that just momentarily, Dawn. We will be bringing some things before the contract committee and the board that speak more to that. And we definitely welcome having some discussions about that. It's definitely something we're aware of. We're looking at, we're being notified very regularly by our partners in multiple agencies and law enforcement. And so it's always on the top of our minds, and we're definitely, we have developed initiatives toward that end. And I think you're going to be seeing a fair amount of projects come through both the contract committee and the board that will maybe speak to that for you.
Excellent. Thanks, Robin. So it sounds like it's upcoming agenda items on that one. AJ, I couldn't tell if you wanted to add a little bit extra to that.
Robin covered it. It'll be coming to the board very soon.
Great, thank you. Let's move back to Josh. You wanted to say something extra, and I wanted to make a comment too, but after you.
Yeah, just a couple things, and I appreciate the discussion from everyone. Thank you. I think this is what we're talking about here is a pretty big deal. It's kind of going to be big in how people perceive the safety of transit and, in fact, how safe it is. Just to clarify on something that Caitlin said, the metrics I listed are not my own. I just want to be clear. Those are all things that Tom has produced there in the materials. So I'm actually not suggesting the collection of new data. I want to be clear about that. What I'm saying is, do we potentially have a responsibility at some point to use it in a particular way? Carl, I know what you mean about how we can't just sort of pluck a number out of the air, but at the same time, this is emerging best practice all over the place, is that people say, okay, we look for thresholds because at certain thresholds, we have some evidence there's more or less danger. And so this is exactly what OHA is doing for the school reopening metrics. And so it's the same idea. I'm just saying, like, I guess when I look at that, I don't know immediately what those goals should be. And that's why I think if we're going to collect the data, let's not just sort of stare at it. Let's actually say, like, are there things here we need to act on? So I think actually that's pretty important. And we're already doing that work. So it's actually not more work in terms of data collection.
Yeah, no, Josh, I hear you. I totally understand what you're getting at. And I think you addressed the issue of why we're gathering this data. I guess what I'm trying to say is I just see this as being more complicated in the sense that I'd rather have staff try to make those kinds of decisions. And if they need us to give some more input and feedback as a board and also as a members of the public who use the service, then, you know, I think that's totally fine. But I mean, just to give you a quick example off the top of my head, I mean, just if we find, say, Route 41 has too many overloads, and so they divert because they're trying to meet a board directive. They pull buses, they have to pull them from somewhere. They pull them from other routes. They have lots of unintentional consequences just because the board had mandated a very specific kind of policy with regard to a certain metric. And so, and that's where I just get nervous about trying to be that specific in that sense. And so that's why I liked what Tom said about different, trying to manage within between ranges and adapting to the data that we're getting. It's probably not gonna be perfect, but I think it's not something I'm, I actually don't feel like I know enough to be able to say where those numbers should go. Emily, I think you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to just ask Josh, like, are you looking for like a percentage or just sort of a triggering effect? And if maybe AJ or Tom or Mark want to respond, do we already have something like that in mind? Because I agree with you, this information is really helpful, but if we're not going to take some action on it, then it's just sort of a repetitive exercise. But I feel like we said, you know, we're trying to minimize the pass-bys without, you know, overdoing it on passengers. So I guess what's the happy medium or compromise in your opinion?
Is that for me or Tom?
You start.
Okay. Thank you. I think what would be great to hear, and we may see this actually in the data as, you know, the current service model plays out, and we'll, you know in a few weeks or a month or something, we'll have enough data to actually judge. But ultimately, we need to make sure that when we are redesigning service and, you know, moving things around, that we actually see it in terms of having fewer overloads and fewer pass-bys. So I think that will be the best sense. I think at the board level, there's still this question about our total level of service, and we may want to spend more money in the shorter term to increase service to push some of these numbers down or to push other numbers up. So I think we need to be prepared to make that kind of a decision. So I guess I'm just saying to staff, it'd be nice to sort of have those things connected for us, but I think those dots will be connected when we get more data, as Tom said.
Carl, did you want me to answer?
Sorry, go ahead, AJ.
Did you want me to answer? I think there was a question for either Tom or I, and I thought I could answer.
If you want, please go ahead.
I think Josh brings up an interesting viewpoint. I think it makes a lot of sense that, you know, we get to hear some of the board comment. I think the board's been looking at these numbers, so you're very used to them. And we hope that you can see that when we were running 180 plus hours of service, we were seeing this very constant trend on overloads. And we started to hear that the board was asking more details. So Tom has broken out that overloads a little bit in more detail to really start to present a picture and to also help inform future decisions. So the service change that just went into place this Sunday is our first attempt using the data that you've been looking at to say, let's add about approximately 20,000 more hours and let's see what that new trend, does that address the previous trend? So that's really what we're looking for, is we're looking for a different trend that reduces pass-ups and reduces overloads. Now, after a few weeks, you know, especially the first week is important, but the second and the third week become more important because that means people are establishing a pattern. If we continue to see that we either didn't put it in the right place or we underestimated the demand, then you're probably gonna see us come back to you and start talking about putting more service out, which you will then say, that makes sense. This is consistent with the trend that we have seen, and we understand why this investment in more service is needed. Just kind of like, I think the board really stayed with us throughout this process and was able to really understand the additional service in this Sunday, this fall. I think if you had not been with us, you would have said, what are you doing? Why are you adding more service? But I think because you have been looking at this data, that made sense to you. So now we're going to go into the next phase in which we're saying, let's follow this. And if we come back using this data and presenting it to you on a regular basis and you follow the same trend we're following and we recommend more service, you're going to be on board. But if you see the trend going backwards, then I'm sure you're going to say, did we put out too much service? Or so I think this trend is important, but it really is only 2 days worth of data. So I would say the next time it will be more valuable and on how we could utilize this data. And then, you know, the seasons changes. So we want to see what all those impacts have on our service so that if we do make more investments, the board would support that. And if the board wants to provide input, we welcome that. So Josh, I think you're making some great points.
If I could just add some context on the data too. So what we're showing you is, and I want you to recall if you can, back 6 months ago when we started putting this information out on loads, we weren't breaking it apart by route. We were just giving you by size of bus, kind of what the overloads were. And as we were looking at the data, we realized, well, it's probably more useful for the board to see this stuff broken down by routes. We started breaking up down by route. And, you know, now we've taken it kind of, think about at the eye doctor, you're kind of getting more and more focused on the broader range of things that are going on. But let me tell you, with respect to the range that TriMet is using, again, we're trying to catch up with some of them to talk more about this, but it really reflected kind of how we see some of the uncertainties that are really detailed down to the individual operator in terms of that data that you're looking at, that range, can factor in things like an operator making a judgment because he knows or she knows that for the years they've been operating a certain route, there's this same family gets on at the same time, and they're just, those are kind of the factors that are going on. That, I mean, there's no data that's tracking the individual decision that an operator made on a certain route on a certain time of day, in terms of how many people were on the bus and they were managing it. But we know that just from experience that there is a range, between that 20 and 24. That's a reasonable range to within which to manage this. And so I'm pointing out that you know, there's also another several layers of data down that we could look at, you know, and we could look at every trip that's taken by stop, and we could start looking at those things. We've looked at that stuff. We understand how the patterns work. We're responding to things like, for example, on the 41, I think we talked about the high level of ridership and a lot of overloads that occur between the service center, St. Finney's Service Center on Highway 99, and the Garfield 41 stop. There's just a lot of people that are traveling between those two points. We'll deploy additional buses for that period of time, for that short trip, to try and manage those loads. We don't do that for every single overage, but we're managing those things day to day, and that's not data that you necessarily see in what we're presenting as well. So I guess I'm just saying there's a lot of complexity to this. There's a lot of uncertainty just in the data that you're looking at today. So I'm just trying to provide that context so that you know what you're looking at.
Thanks, Tom. Josh, I think you want to go again, and then I'd like to throw myself on the list too.
Yes, three super quick things and then a suggestion. Not asking for multiple additional layers of data. I don't actually think that's the right direction for us as a decision-making body at the board level. I'm also definitely not questioning operator discretion. I think actually our operators' savviness and knowledge of their routes and of the people on their routes is one of our greatest strengths. And so actually I think that sort of always leaving that discretion is essential. So I just want to make sure, Tom, you know, I've sort of seen that in action as a rider. But the third thing I would say, you guys, is if you don't have targets, you don't meet them. And so I just want us to make sure we think about the importance of actually at some point, maybe sooner rather than later, establishing things we are aiming for. sometimes you don't make those targets, but they inform other things about what you're doing. And so I just want us to sort of figure out over time what those should be. And my suggestion is just going to be that given that we're going to have new data and given that cases are spiking, as Mark noticed at the beginning, we have, you know, greater prevalence in the community of the virus, and we've had these service changes, I would say maybe we have another one of these meetings before our next board meeting, probably 2 weeks from tonight. It's a long gap between, it's 5 weeks between board meetings anyway, so maybe that gives us extra license, but that would be my suggestion. Thanks, Carl.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. The thing I'm going to say next is not meant to elicit feedback or comments from other board members, but I did feel important for me to, it was important for me to say it just to plant the idea or start the idea, which is today we were told that, you know, the plexiglass for to protect operators is going to go in, and which we know, but it's coming. And for the a sensible reason to protect the operators, to accommodate people coming in to be able to pay fares. And I just want to throw out there that I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that that has to happen. I think there are ways that we can achieve a no fare situation. And the reason I want to throw that out is because I feel like we are still going to be in the situation for a longer time. The people who are using our transit system are arguably the ones that I think an argument could be made that they don't really have a choice in the matter or have very a few other alternative options. And so I would really feel strongly about trying to keep the price down to as low as possible, possibly to zero. Now, that being said, I do want to honor operator concerns about having people come in without paying a fare. And I wonder if there are creative ways. And this is one possible solution. This is probably not the only solution, but if they were to, you know, we were to mandate the use of TouchPass or TouchPass alternative to make sure that everyone's registered so that they can just scan in and that they need to go through that process to be able to actually ride in the bus, that could be a possible solution. But I just want to throw that out there. And I just want to make it very clear, just fully support the plexiglass. I think we should make sure we protect operators at every turn, even if it turns out to be not something we go to. But I was a little concerned. I just didn't want people to feel like it's a foregone conclusion that fares would definitely come back. And it may, and you know, I'm not saying that's not going to happen either. I just want to throw that out there. So anyway, that was my opinion. And you don't have to respond back to it if you don't want to. We're now 3 minutes before the end, so you may not have time to. But are there any last comments that people would like to make?
Carl, I would just say you bring up a great point. I think we should have that as maybe a work session conversation. I mean, Caitlin was suggesting a work session on some of these issues. I think that would be a good way to handle that. I do think we should bring back fares, but as you said, we don't really have time to discuss it, but it'd be a great thing to sort of share perspectives on.
Cool. Thanks, Josh. And Caitlin, go ahead.
Just really quickly, I'm sorry for the noise behind me. I was just going to say, as the weather changes, I think you're going to see a lot more disturbances on the bus if we keep it fare free. And so I'm actually absolutely in favor of reinstating the fare for that reason.
I agree.
So it might be a very short discussion in the future. We'll see. But that's good. That's the reason we have a board and we have differing opinions, and we'll flesh those out. So I don't think we have time to try to discuss anything else, but I agree with everyone. A work session does probably seem like a good idea. So we will work towards that. So I think I will go ahead and adjourn this meeting. I hope everyone stay safe and healthy, and I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks. So take care, everybody. Have a good evening.
Carl,